This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Friday, March the 1st, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Director of Multichannel Content for SMA News Today.
For people with SMA, psychological well-being is not driven by socioeconomic factors or even illness characteristics. Instead, patients closely relate it to, for example, their ability to participate in activities and their sense of autonomy, competence, and relatedness. Researchers have reported their findings in an article called Psychological Well-being in Adults with Spinal Muscular Atrophy: The Contribution of Participation and Psychological Needs. It was published in Disability and Rehabilitation. Research is limited into SMA patients' psychological well-being, and very little is known about what factors may affect it. Studies that have been conducted also conflict in reported findings. For this reason, researchers at the University Medical Center Utrecht looked at patients' sense of well-being in terms of self-esteem and emotional functioning, and at their sense of overall satisfaction with life. This study was the first to include satisfaction of basic psychological needs. It also explains variations in well-being among patients with neuromuscular disorders. According to their study, autonomy refers to the sense of being able to act from personal interests and values. Relatedness concerns the feeling of being connected with, respected, and valued by others. And competence is the sense of control over one's actions and the environment. The team examined psychological well-being through two frameworks. One used a 32-item Utrecht scale for evaluation of rehabilitation participation. This assesses both objective and subjective measures of household chores, work, and social activities. The other is a measured ranking on issues related to autonomy, relatedness, and competence. It's called the Basic Psychological Needs Satisfaction and Frustration Scale. Questionnaires were completed by 92 SMA patients in the Netherlands. Their ages ranged from 18 to 73 years old. They had all been diagnosed with SMA for an average of 9.3 years. 52% had type 3, 40% had type 2, 4% had type 4, and 3% had type 1. The study found that nearly half were living independently, and about half had an intimate relationship with another person. 67% reported being restricted in doing household chores. 57% reported restrictions in outdoor physical activity or exercise. 43% reported being restricted going out, for example, to the movies or dinner. Most use electric wheelchairs and were either unable to perform these activities or could only do so when assisted. However, over 85% also reported being very content with their amount of participation, and were also pleased with their social relationships with a partner, family, and friends. Additionally, more than 4 out of 5 respondents gave high marks for work, study, and leisure activities at home. The study also showed high levels of satisfaction for basic needs of autonomy, competence, and relatedness, and these are all seen as predictors of well-being. Respondents' average scores ranged between 4.0 and 4.6 on a 5-point scale. Findings indicate that satisfying these three needs are strongly related to SMA patients' psychological well-being. Interestingly, researchers found that sociodemographic, for example, age and education, and clinical variables, such as time since diagnosis, SMA subtype, and motor function, were generally unrelated to the respondents' psychological well-being. Researchers also looked at how their responses were linked with their self-esteem, emotional functioning, and overall life. They found the following. First, self-esteem was most strongly related to their sense of competence, although it was related to contentment with participation. Second, emotional functioning was most related to their sense of competence, frequency of participation, and restrictions in participation. And finally, overall life was most related to how pleased they were with their sense of competence and participation abilities. The researchers suggested that in addition to helping patients preserve an ability to participate in daily life, clinicians should be attentive throughout their illness trajectory. This would help to optimize autonomy, competence, and relatedness to improve psychological well-being. The results point to the importance of supporting patients in meeting their basic psychological needs, both within and outside of the medical domain. And paying attention to basic psychological needs should be a continuous concern throughout the trajectory of care.
Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today Community Editor Kevin Schaefer.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploregenetherapy.com.
The following is a topic from the SMA News Today forums. This topic was posted by Kevin Schaefer on February 21st, 2019, in the forum SMA Parents and Caregivers. Recently, I had a conversation with a mom who has two sons with SMA. Her boys are middle schoolers, and they're both skeptical about starting Spinraza. They worry about potential side effects of the injection and whether or not the medicine will make a difference with them. Both of these are valid concerns, and it's pretty common for older kids and adults to have anxieties about starting the treatment. I also had these same concerns and anxieties before my first injection, and I wasn't sure whether or not I wanted to go through with it. If your child is older, understand that starting Spinraza isn't an easy decision for them to make. There are a lot of factors for them to consider. If you find yourself in this situation as a parent, and you really want your child to start the treatment, consider these steps. First, empathize with your child. Don't just ignore their concerns, but instead try to understand where they're coming from. It is a big decision for them, and they need you to hear their concerns and anxieties. Talking through these matters is important. Second, talk with them about why you think Spinraza will benefit them. Tell them what you've heard from other people with SMA and parents in the SMA community. This is also when you can encourage them to talk with someone else with SMA who has been receiving Spinraza for a while. I was able to talk with this mother's kids, and they seemed encouraged by my positive experiences with the treatment. For me, it always helps to talk about this stuff with other SMA people. I know that they get it. Third, let this be your kid's decision. I know this part is tough, but if your kid is older, they have to be the one to make the decision to pursue the treatment. If you follow the above steps, there's a good chance that they will go through with it. Still, it's their call to make. This advice is just based on my own opinions and experiences, but I hope it helps. Feel free to ask me anytime about my experiences with Spinraza. For more discussions like this, please sign up for the SMA News Today forums and check out our multimedia content, such as the SMA News Today podcast and the SMA News Today YouTube channel. I'm Kevin Schaefer, community editor for SMA News Today.
The information in our flash briefings and podcast are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcast and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Multichannel Content Director.